Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray you'll bless it to our hearts as we share our time together now, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not meant to be a trivial comparison, but do you remember the old days of the fairgrounds?
Yes.
Some of us do anyway,
before
you know. Sorry?
Before our time.
Well, the reason I say that was that they'd turn up in this empty field with their lorries stacked high with bits and pieces, and in no time at all, they got all these rides assembled.
Mm.
Yeah? And the thing about it was, they'd obviously got a good plan of how to reassemble everything and take it down so that they could move on to a next place. In a way, that's really what this tabernacle thing is all about.
Mm.
It's meant to be assembled and disassembled in pretty good time, in certain order, because the Israelites were on the move. That's the idea, right? So it was for a moving community. They were in the wilderness, as it turns out, 40 years. That wasn't the intended plan, but they were on the move for a while anyway. Yeah.
How big was it, you know?
Sorry? Well, I'll get to that in a while. Don't worry. No, that's okay. We'll get some of the details. It's all in Exodus, but I've got the references when we come on. It's Exodus 19. One of the thing was that the Israelites encamped at Mount Sinai. Now, go on a lot about Mount Sinai. Do you know where Mount Sinai is? They normally think Mount Sinai is in the Sinai Peninsula. That's between Egypt and Arabia. Yeah? With what's called the Red Sea, yes? Problem is, there is no archaeological... Well, it's not a problem, but it's a fact. No archaeological evidence whatsoever for any Israelites ever being there. Yes? In the bottom of Mount Sinai. And the good reason for that is, in the New Testament, Paul says Mount Sinai is in Arabia. If you go across the Sinai Peninsula, you come to the Straits of Hormuz. That's where all this Iraq trouble is about at the moment. But at the Straits of Hormuz, there is exactly the right area, the right shape of the mountains, and also archaeological evidence that Israelites have been there, really. So it's Mount Sinai is in Arabia, the Sinai Peninsula. There's quite a good video on that somewhere if you can get hold of it. I've seen that before, but anyway, here we are. The Israelites camped at Mount Sinai. Why were they there? God told them to go there so that he could give them his laws. Yes, that was the idea. He was making them into a people of his own. They were going to enter into the covenant, and while they're there, Moses goes up the mountain for 40 days, remember?
Yeah.
And while he's up there, God gives him instructions about building this thing called the tabernacle. Yeah, so that's where we're starting from. They started by being told by God they could build this tabernacle. And another word for a tabernacle really is a big tent.
Yeah.
That's the idea. A bit like a big, you know, like the circus tents. I mean, quite a large thing, but we've got a scale thing, as you'll see in a moment. So can we have our next picture then, please?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're told in Exodus, before I go any further, I just want to say something else that's really important. And it's this, that no Israelite ever saw what you're going to see now. They weren't allowed to see the tabernacle. Not in the bits and pieces that we're talking about. The priests had to disassemble it and cover it and move it on, and then they remove the covers while nobody's watching all that sort of thing, and reassemble it. Nobody was allowed inside except the high priest into the middle bit. Right, so the Israelites hadn't got much of an idea of what it was like in terms of being able to see it. But if you could read as an Israelite, you know exactly what it was like, because it's in the Word. And the lesson, I think, is a lovely lesson to this. The things that God wants you to know, you'll discover in His Word. Yeah? If you want to find out what the tabernacle was like, you find out through the Word. And that's true of everything that's spiritual, isn't it? It's God's Word that reveals it to us.
Did they have it in writing?
Well, Moses eventually wrote it down. I don't think they did it immediately, no. But obviously during Moses' lifetime they would have got it written down, yeah. So we told about the details. What do you need to have a tent? You need a frame. Yes. A frame to hold the tent stuff up. And so, first of all, we have described the frame of the tabernacle. And it's interestingly how it's put it together. It's made out of these types of frames, right? Okay, and these are in cubits. 1.5 cubits is one of those and a bit more. So it's what, about 3 feet, something like that? Yeah? It depends on how big your arm is, of course. Yeah. But they did have a standard cubit. Don't worry, it wasn't according to anybody's idea. Yeah. And 20 high. So that's fairly high as well. 20 cubits is what? That's 1.5 feet. That's 30 feet high. Is that right? Am I right? Mm-hmm. 20 cubits is 20 feet. Mm-hmm. And it's 20.5. Yeah, so 30 feet high, yeah? Right, and they had all of these made out of acacia wood. Now, acacia wood is a desert-growing tree type thing, so it's pretty tough stuff, yeah, so it's not going to get your old woodworm and all that sort of thing in it. It's good solid wood that they used, and they overlaid it with gold, but I should imagine it wasn't very thick gold, because it's got to be carried, yeah. but it's all covered with gold, so it's quite a magnificent tent frame, and they had loads of these. Each one of these is there, right? So that's all those tent frames all along there. And they had crossbars. Once they got all them stuck up together, in the middle they ran a crossbar, so it locked it together, just like, you know, the circus people and whatever, they just got these things and they run things through them, absolutely solid in no time at all. That's the structure that they had. So it was a quick assembly job, but it was a very stable one. It had to be, I mean, you don't want it falling down, of course. So that's your tent structure. And the interesting thing is that they always placed it, when they came to put it up, in a certain direction, east-west, always went east-west. And the front door is in the east. Why is it in the east? Why did they have that as a, why did God tell them to have the front door at the east? Well, no, they were facing east, but they were south of Israel at the time, weren't they?
Yeah, the sunrise.
It's the sunrise! And really, I think the symbolism is this, that they're expecting the Lord's return somehow, you know. I mean, that's what I see it as, you know. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. Mm. Yeah, so let's always face sunrise. That's why your Anglican churches do the same now.
Is it?
Yes.
Really
always facing east. Always facing east.
I really
Yes.
Why do you want to have a, if it's such
hard work,
have a cutting?
They used, the interesting, I mean, it's a good question.
The tools wouldn't have been as good back then, would they?
Well, they were pretty clever things. I mean, these were craftsmen. I mean, they got the best people in the community to do the artwork, to do the moulding of the materials and all of that stuff, and obviously the woodwork as well. Yeah, there was the guy called Bezalel was the top carpenter, whatever he was, craftsman. He must have been a first. I mean, the stuff that they made was beautiful. So, you know, they might have had more basic tools than we have, but they certainly use them with skill. I mean, yeah. like these cathedrals and things they built, you know. I mean, they didn't have all JCBs and stuff that we have, but they certainly put up some good stuff, didn't they? So, there we are. That's the frame. So they had this big frame with some poles, 5 poles here and 4 poles there. And the thing about it is that the frames are overlaid with gold, the bases, and I should have looked that up. I think they're probably bronze, but they may be gold bases. Does it say? Have you looked at what?
Hang on.
What's the bases made from?
Silver.
Silver. Silver. Ah, right, silver. That. Thank you. Yes. Right. So, yes, silver, fairly durable material. So that's what's the base for? To stick the poles in, so they don't go anywhere. Mm. And so we've got a good stable frame for your tent. This is just a frame right now. Yeah. So it's a big box. Basically a big box with no lid on. Yeah, the lid is coming. Right, next then, please.
Yes.
Right, we've gone back.
Why have we gone back?
I have no idea.
You
have
to put an extra one in.
I didn't.
Yeah,
did you know?
Seriously.
You
know, I can't take all this time.
No, there's only one. There's only one. You're going back. That's the one I've just had. That's the one I want.
Animations.
No, I don't want animations, I want you to run it.
No.
From the beginning,
yeah.
One more.
Yeah, it's done it at all, bro.
Why didn't it last time?
Why didn't he do it last time? Yeah. Well, there's a good question. I can only blame the operator on this one.
It's
your friend Sue. It's just arriving. We'll wait for Sue.
I'll get Barbara.
Hello! Welcome! You've come to save the day, love. We're having troubles with our operator. Right, we've just got the frame of, we're on about the tabernacle.
Okay.
We've just got the frame, right? It's gold covered, acacia wood, and it's a lightweight frame. Most of the thing is air. It's just the supports of the crossbars that are solid, so it doesn't take a lot of weight to make it, but it's firm and secure. On top of all of that, now then, they put these, they had them woven, lots of sheets of this material that was made from fine linen. Yeah, so they had all these sheets there, the people that wove the stuff, and then they embroidered it with blue, purple and scarlet yarn and built in cherubim into it. So it's quite a magnificent piece of embroidery, you'd say, yes? Mm. And they had loads of these, big lot, and then they joined them, they did it in two blocks. They stitched these bits together and made two sheets and then joined it together with these gold rings.
10 curtains.
They were curtains, that's what we call them, yes, 10 curtains. They joined them together with these gold clasps, yeah? So that's what they, that was one of them. See, they got the cherubim and the embroidery and all that in there. So they had all of these, put them all together, and then made this one big... So that is the tent that goes over the frame. Yeah, that's the basic tent. So when you went inside, if you went inside, what would you see? All the embroidery and the cherubims and the gold bars and everything else. Beautiful. Right, okay. Right, next then, please. Right, on top of that, yeah, on top of the first layer, they had another layer of goat hair. What colour is goat hair?
Black.
You met any goats lately?
Black, brown.
It's black. The Israeli goats are black. They're black, yes. The goat's hair's black. Yeah, and they had, these were slightly bigger, because they are going over the tent sheet to protect it from outside elements and whatever. So this is bigger, and they're still bound together with clasps of bronze. Why bronze?
It's,
well, possibly that is probably cheaper as well. I don't know, but that's what they've been doing. And they made all these things, you know, from the gifts that the people had made.
Is this over the top and down the side?
Oh yes. Top and sides, yes, down there, yes. That's
and
right.
The ends.
And the ends, yes, they had a bit that went over the end, yes, of course, the long bit that went over the end. We're not finished yet though, there's another layer, a few more layers to go yet.
No, dark inside.
It's dark, you're right, yes. Ah, well, the provision has been made, fear not. Next one, please. Two final layers. First of all, ram skins dyed red. Yes? Maybe what's the symbolism of that, do you think? The blood, I think. I think that's what it's about. So, they made this one. I'm going to say, could you go back?
Mm-hmm.
go to this. Hang on.
Which one do you want?
This one.
That one.
Right. They're 42 long, 42 cubits, yeah? And these are... Try that one. They're 42 cubits, but you go back now.
Back again, yes.
Back.
Is it
minus
or control
minus? Oh, no, you don't want any of that for that one.
Escape.
No, this is a PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. Right, there we are. Oh, see, go to this one. Right. How long is this?
40.
So that is completely covered by the other coverings. So we now go on to slide number 5. We've got back to the ram skins dyed red. Yeah, so that's almost a leather coat, isn't it, on top of it, yes?
It has to be heavy.
Well, yes, that's why they were done in two parts, usually. They had to roll them up and shift them in carts and things like that. Yeah. Quite, the Levites had quite a job on their hands, yes. And the final layer is hides of sea cows. Dungongs, I think their name for them is. Where they got the sea cows from, I do not know, but they're a bit like sea lions. They're not hippos. No, no. They're aquatic animals. They must have got them out of somewhere.
It's a manatee, is it? Is that a sea?
A bit like a manatee, but it's not them. No. Yeah. But what's the advantage of this one?
Waterproof.
If it rains, the tent doesn't get spoiled. See? So this is modern tent making as well. They do things like this now, you know.
The sea cow.
Yeah, dungong, is it? Yeah? Mm. Well, anyway, there you are. Well, anyway, it's a bit like one of those things that swim in the water, you know. Right, okay, so that's Exodus 36 verse 9. So that's all the layers. So we've got all the material, well, virtually all the material. Some more to go yet, just another one please. Next one. Now, I told you they were inside the tent now. It's just one big area to start with, but it's going to be partitioned up into two bits. Yeah, a big bit and a little bit. Yeah, well, the little bit is got four bars, gold bars, with the same sort of decorations on it as well as the normal tent. So that bit, the smaller part, and it's embroidered, it's got the posts, it's got silver bases, gold hooks and all of that, yeah. So that's the inner curtain. What's it called in the temple when it's there? Yeah, it's the inner curtain, yes. But what's the area behind it called? The Holy of Holies, the most holy place. It was, but we'll look at the, I've got a picture of it in the moment, but yeah, that was the bit you never saw inside of. Never allowed in there. Nobody except the high priest, once a year. Everybody else, out. Yeah, so that's all you saw of the Holy of Holies. Right.
So they actually built it. They built all that space.
Yes.
And covered it just for one bloke to go in once.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lesson. You'll see. Yeah. Next one, please. Yeah.
That
is the entrance. The entrance one. It looks the same, but it's got more bits. But the other thing is, the entrance curtain has got a gap down the side, so you can go in. Yeah, so you go in through the side behind the curtains. Yeah? So you walk in behind here. You can't see into the place, but you can go into it. Got the idea? And those are bronze bases, again, good solid bronze bases. So it's all locked together, so that's your door, basically. Right, so that's the entrance to the tabernacle. Right, now then, here we are. Here it is, built together, but it's in a sliced open version. Yeah, here's the size of the chap compared to it, so it's fairly big, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, so that's the chap. These are the posts and the cross beams holding it together. First layer, second layer, third layer, fourth layer, and they had bronze tent pegs. You know why you need tent pegs?
Hold it down.
Hold it down. Stop it blowing away or falling over or whatever. Yeah.
Well, how heavy it was, it probably wouldn't have blown away.
Well, yeah, that's fairly substantial, yeah. Yes, yeah. But, I mean, if you've got a wind,
yeah.
Or some of these sizable things, it could be. Yeah. So, it's all stabilised, right? Frame, coverings, ropes and pegs. Everything. And this is your mobile tent. That's what it is, yeah? Right, now then, having got it built, we've got to put some stuff in it, haven't we? So the next one is, here we are. This is what went inside it, yeah? We've got the east is the entrance again, yeah? Facing the sunrise. Yeah. The first thing you reach when you come in is an altar of burnt offering. We're going to look at some pictures of those, so don't worry, yeah? Right. And then what do you get to? The bronze laver. Laver means washing. It's a big bowl, basically, a big bronze bowl. The priests use for washing and cleaning things, yes? And then that's outside the tent. Now this is the tent itself. Yeah, the holy place. The first third of it is called the holy place. The second part is called the most holy place. In the first bit, there are three items of furniture. There's the golden lampstand, got some light. Yes. And there's the table, which has got some bread on it. And they've got this altar of incense. They're not to scale those diagrams, by the way. But yeah, what do they offer on the altar of incense?
Incense.
Very good, yes. It smells nice in there as well. And the interesting thing is that the recipe for the incense was, I'm going to say, copyrighted in a sense. Nobody was allowed to make it, except the priests. If you wore this stuff or you made some, you could be finishing up dead. Yeah? It was meant specially to remind people of the tabernacle. I think that's what it was. There was a smell about the place that reminded you that this was holy ground.
The aroma.
That's the idea, yeah? Okay? The recipe's still there. You can make some now. I think you're allowed now. But
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then we've got the curtain. And then we have the Holy of Holies. And in there is the Ark of the Covenant, as it's called. Right? So that's the furniture that was inside.
Is that the curtain that was torn?
This is the curtain that was torn when Jesus died. Yes. Yeah. In other words, The point he's making, that's what the letter to the Hebrews says, that while that curtain was up there, it was really saying you weren't allowed in. But once Jesus dies, the curtain goes, you're allowed into the presence of God. God's presence is to be found in there, that's the idea. And all this is about how you approach God. You have to come with a sacrifice, you have to be clean, yeah? You need to know God's presence, His light, and He feeds you with His heavenly bread, and you bring worship and praise to Him, and then you can meet Him. Mm. So that's the symbolism of it all. That's the, and I mean, that was good stuff, isn't it, really? For the Israelites. God's teaching them about how you approach Him, how you worship Him. Yeah? Right, next head, please. Right, so we've got some of the furniture here. Now, this is what they call the Ark of the Covenant. It was a box made from wood, and it's 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5 cubits. So 2.5 cubits is? That's 3 feet, isn't it? 2.5. Well, 2 cubits is 3 feet. 4 foot long. 4 foot long. And 2 foot wide. Yeah, 2 foot wide, 2 foot high. So it's not massive, is it? No?
No.
No, it's made of acacia. Again, it's all acacia wood that they use. Yeah. And it was covered with gold. Again, covered with gold. Yes? And the thing about it is, the top thing they call the mercy seat. That's the top cover of the golden Ark of the Covenant. And it was made out of one piece of gold. It was hammered to form these cherubim with their wings over the cover, yeah? Right? And it's reputed that there was a light glowing there, the presence of God, the Shekinah glory. The blood of the offering that the high priest brought once a year was put there on the mercy seat. What was inside? Inside the box. Well, the Hebrews tells you, but the things were added later. But originally, what was put inside the box? The two stones with the writings of the Ten Commandments on them. Well, the staff of Aaron and the pot of manna later on, yes. But originally, it was there for the two stones, the two tablets of stone. Yeah. And what's the spiritual lesson in that? Yeah? The law is covered by the mercy seat. It's the blood that makes atonement so that you can meet with the Lord. Mm. Yeah? If you took the lid off, you'd face the law. And you won't survive if you face the law, but God's provided a covering for us. That's the idea. Right. Next one, please. Mm-hmm. We've got this table of bread. Yes, yeah, special bread. Again, made from acacia wood, a little bit smaller than the ark. And all of these have poles. The ark had poles as well. Why did they have poles? To carry them. Yes. And the point being is, the priests had to carry these things. But you wouldn't see them. They were all covered before they started moving. Yeah, so they had to cover these things before they moved. So, this table had bread that was made fresh every day. All the vessels were made out of gold and whatever.
What was something to do with the ark that if they do something, they'll die?
They weren't to touch it.
That's what I mean, if they touched it, they'll die or something.
Yes, that happened on one occasion.
Yeah.
They weren't moving, this is when David was taking it up to Jerusalem. Mm. They put it on a cart. Mm. A new cart, nice cart, good cart. It's the wrong cart, because the priest was supposed to carry it. Mm. And the cart sort of jostled a bit. And some guy, trying to be helpful, tried to steady it, and died for the job for doing that. Yeah. Yes, right. And then David panicked basically and thought, "Oh dear, this is no good." So he put it in somebody's house. I thought the bloke thought, "He's coming to my house, just kill somebody." Yeah, but God blessed him, absolutely blessed him, and David realised it wasn't the problem of the ark being there; it was how you were handling it and dealing with it. So he looked up. You carry it by the poles with the priest. He did it, and it was right then. It was
fine. Just memory back of what the kids do. Good. Done to me near as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Okay. So what's the bread for? What's the bread symbolise? I suppose you can say. The pictures of Jesus, in a way, is the bread of life, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you get God feeds you. Right. Okay. So that's the bread that they made every day. Must have smelled nice as well, I think. Nice bread. You've got all this perfume around and then the bread smell. Nice being in with the presence of God, that's the point, yes? Next one, please. The lampstand. You've seen this. This is one of the classic symbols of Israel. Yes. The seven-branched lampstand. And it was modelled, now this one was made out of one piece of gold again. The craftsmen had to use one piece, they couldn't stick bits on. And they
shaped it out of almond blossoms. Yeah, so it was made out of this quite a large piece of gold to make that.
And the lamps at the top, that's the lamp stand. The lamps were these little, well, I don't know if you've seen them, they're just sort of little cups with a wick in them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mantles.
What then?
Mantles.
Mantles, are they? Yeah. Yeah, well, basically, you put oil in it,
yeah.
You put oil in it, the wick absorbed the oil, and then you lit the wick, and it's... Yeah. And so you had to trim the wick as well, there were wick trimmers for these as well, yeah. That was Samuel's job when he was a young lad in the tabernacle. He had to trim the wicks and everything else. And there we are, that was the lampstand in the room. What was it there for?
Light.
To give light. So who's that a picture of?
Jesus.
Yes, the light of the world. Yes, Jesus gives you light. That's the idea, yes. So Jesus is the source of light, and of course that's a wonderful thing for them. Yeah, they've got this thing. And then this altar of incense, that was quite a good deal smaller. Well, only 1 cubit square, a bit taller, but 1 cubit square. And that was made of gold. Well, it was overlaid with gold, this case was overlaid with gold. And on that they burnt that incense, the very special incense. Yeah, so I would just suggest, you can see where the Anglicans get all this from, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? This is all sort of Old Testament stuff, imagery, and so on, yeah? Well, all very nice, but, well, we'll see.
Is that where they get, remember at Janice's funeral, he was going to have an candles and all that?
I'm not quite sure where he got it from, but...
What is incense made from?
It was made from various very special... Well, let's have a look at the references. You've gone too far. Back, yes. No, not that one, no. You wanted escape. Go to escape. And back, go up there, a bit further, higher. That one, yes. Exodus 37:25-28. It might tell you what the oil is made out of there. Does it say what the perfume is made out of?
37.
Exodus 37,
the
verse 25. The incense.
Using the techniques of the most skilled incense.
Yeah, I mean, these were top class people, yeah? What do they make it from? There is a recipe in the Bible. Sorry?
Sweet
spices. Yeah, because, well, it does actually tell you what the spices are in some references, yeah? So it's sweet spices. Made by a perfumer, yeah? I mean, these were. As I say, this wasn't just any old Jack throwing it together.
I've got a book on that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's in
the Bible. It's in the Bible. You can find it out. It's there. Your homework is to find out the recipe for the perfume. Yeah. And just to say, right, what the perfume represent? Smell of Jesus and... Prayers and worship that ascend to God. Yeah? We'll see. You see that in Revelation. Well, we'll come to Revelation eventually, but we're on this one at the moment. Yeah? Alright, so we need to carry on now. Can we have our next one, please? Yeah? Number 14. You've got to run it again now.
I've got to go.
Go to that one. Yeah. Skip with that. Yeah, don't worry. Alright, slide. Go for that. No, from current slide. There we are. The basin. The large basin. It must have had some carrying handles on it. It doesn't show it on the picture there, but they've got to carry it somehow. I can't see six lads grabbing it by the edges and walking around with it. But this is made from bronze, yes? And the interesting thing is, where did they get the bronze from? Ah, interesting little detail, this one. From the mirrors of all the ladies. Yeah, they used to have bronze mirrors, you know? Yeah? They were polished bronze. Just to say, that also explains that there was a Corinthian bronze, which was better than most. I don't know if they had it then, of course, but it was a reasonable mirror. But Paul says about, now we see through a glass darkly, in Corinthians?
Yeah.
Now we see a pale reflection, is what he says. And he's talking about the bronze mirrors of their time. Yeah? You could make out your face, but it wasn't very good. No, your face wasn't very good. The reflection wasn't very good. You got the idea. Yeah. So they were made out of the mirrors of the girls. That's the point, yes. And this was bronze basin for washing, for priests cleaning their hands because they're offering sacrifices, chopping meat up and stuff like that. So
they
you
have
know.
To do that for the women, though, didn't they?
Yes. Oh yes, right. They have to be clean. Yes. Oh yes.
I found the recipe.
All right.
Do you want to know what it is?
Say, tell us, yeah.
It's gum resin.
Gum resin.
Onica.
All right.
Onica and galbanum.
Galbanum, yes.
Galbanum. And pure frankincense.
Pure frankincense.
All in equal amount.
Right. Not yeah. cheap.
Ah.
Not cheap. Spices. Yes. Yes. This is not your Chanel number 49. Or, this is more than that, yes. Right. So there's your bronze basin for washing. Have they got to fill this up, I assume? I assume they emptied it every time they used it. Moved on, you know. I mean, carrying that would be... Ooh, yes. So they would fill it. Next one, please. Yes. Now the altar, we're working our way out of course, the altar of burnt offering. Now again, that's made from acacia wood, but what's important about this is it's covered with bronze. You know why?
So it doesn't burn.
So it doesn't burn, yes. Right, bronze is a good conductor. Copper, which is substantially bronze, yeah, is a very good conductor of heat, so the frame won't burn. That's the outside frame. It's made of wood covered with bronze. The inner grating is pure bronze, yes. Because that's where the real heat of the fire is. So that's what they did, they made this out of that. And that was for a burnt offering. They had a fire going in there, and the animal offerings were put on there and burnt. Yeah? And they had special shovels and stuff for shifting the ashes and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. I wouldn't have liked to have been a priest in those days. I mean, this is a lot of messing about.
Well, it's like convention.
It is, yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's what they did with the animals, yes. Yeah. Okay, right, now that's all the stuff that went into, I say stuff, and I should be reverent, I mean this was God's design, you know, God told him to do this. So here we have it all put together, this is the courtyard, we've got the outside bit, so you've got your tent, you've got your altar, and your washing place, yeah, and the outside of it all was another big frame, yeah. This is the courtyard, we call it. It came in through the door, oh, yeah. The side of it, yeah.
That was all built up all around it.
It was built up all around it, yes, all around it, yes. It was made from linen, well, of course, this was made from linen,
yeah.
But the posts, again, made from acacia wood and so on, mm-hmm. And all the pegs made out of bronze in the base. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The various priests, the different families of the priests had different jobs. Some had to deal with the things. Some had a special job dealing with these bits, some had a special job dealing with the tent bit, and then others had jobs reshifting all this lot. So they'd all got their job to do, and they all knew how to do it in order, so that when they arrived in another place, it was up and running in no time at all. Yeah. Right. So that's that. Courtyard. So now, who are the people who do the jobs? Now I need your help with this one. These are the priests. This is it's the high priest's ephod, it's described, it's his covering. But the thing is, that reference doesn't tell us that the high priest normally just wore a white ephod. It says it somewhere, because the priests normally ministered just like that. Yeah, that was their normal type of ministry. If you can find that out for me, I'll change the reference.
Okay, they made the ephod of gold and a blue...
Yeah, well, that's for the high priest. That's the high priest ephod. Yes, well, the high priest had this as his normal wear. We'll come to the high priest ephod in a moment and all of that. But the normal stuff is what they wore like that. That's what the priest's clothing was. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Next one, please. Right. So this is the high priest in his full gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And variously, he's got the white ephod underneath. But he's got this special thing.
It's not purple.
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah?
Yes.
And it had underneath, on the edge, a mix of a little gold bells shaped like pomegranates, I believe. Yes. And the amazing thing is, about 20 years ago, during excavations in Jerusalem, they found one of those little bells, and it still rattles.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And the idea, what was the point of it rattling? You know, you can hear him coming, yes, 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 God could hear him coming, but God knew he was coming anyway. You knew if he was still alive, yes, the people outside, if they heard the sound, they thought he was okay, yes. I'm told, I believe this is true, I'm told that when the high priest went in, they put a rope round his leg, Yeah, because if the rattling stopped, they could drag him out. Yeah, but there you are. It was serious, you know. I mean, they're approaching God. That's the point. Yeah. But here we have his special robes and his special ephod as well. But the thing that marks him out is really quite amazing. These things on his shoulders and this special thing at the front, the breastplate or whatever you call it. Yeah. And the band on his head. Right. The gold band around his turban, we call it. He had holy to the Lord. That's what he was meant to be. Yeah. And he was the people's representative. He went in to represent the people before God. Yeah. Well, Jesus is our high priest. This was Aaron to start with. Yeah. And what's significant about these shoulder bits? Do you know what's on them? They were stones. They were semi-precious stones. Yes.
Yeah.
But what happened? What was on them? Six of each of the tribes. Yeah. Each of the tribes of Israel. Six on one shoulder, six on the other. What's the symbolism there? The high priest bears his people on his shoulders. Yeah. In other words, Jesus is carrying you. Yeah. That's the original of the footsteps. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And the ephod. Each of these. There's 12. You see there. There's 12 there. 12 different stones. Yeah. Right? And those stones had engraved on them a name of one tribe each. So there were 12 tribes with their stones engraved. And what's special about those? Where are they? They're over his heart. Yeah, so Jesus, as our high priest, carries you on his shoulders and bears you on his heart. Right? Good stuff, eh? Mm. Yes?
Heavy.
Not particularly heavy, no. They're only sort of smallish stones, I suppose, really, yeah. And inside, there's a fold inside there. It carried too many special things that we know virtually nothing about. The Urim and the Thummim. You heard of those? The Urim and the Thummim. The light and the dark, it's called. And those were some form of special stones that the Lord would use to tell them to make decisions. Yes and no. Yeah? That's what the priests had. The Urim and the Thummim. But it's a bit of a mystery quite what was going on. God was guiding him anyway as to what decisions were to be made. So there's the high priest in all his glory, yeah, and he's got his censer with his own perfume in there as well. Right, next up, please. So here we have the scale construction. This is what it would look like if you were able to get a bird's eye view of the place. So here it is. It's not massive. It's big though, isn't it, in the sense, but it's not massive. Yeah, and here are all these people around about. It's 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide. What's 100 cubits long? Is 150 feet, isn't it?
That's not long.
No, it's not big. It's not massively big. No, but it's big enough. Yeah. So that's where the tabernacle was, right? So that's the scale construction of it. Yeah? Now then, the important thing about it, the vital ingredient I put there, in Exodus 40, verse 34. Something happened when they built it, and it was all dedicated, and the blood was shed, and the blood was sprinkled with water around the place. What happened? Exodus 40, verse 34.
A cloud
descended. A cloud appeared. The glory of God. The glory of God came on the temple. Oh, not the temple, the tabernacle. Yes. Right, so that, and that was an important bit for guidance. While the cloud's there, what do you do?
Stay.
When the cloud lifts, what do you do?
Go.
Yeah. Right. God's guiding them by his presence, yes? So that's really wonderful. Right, then next one, please. And there's the arrangements of the tribes. The tribes didn't just turn up in any old way. They had to, I mean, you're talking about a million or more people. You know, you've got to organize things. And so all the tribes were arranged in different places around the tabernacle. The tabernacle's central, all the tribes when they part. So the ones that set off first, when they're marching off, yeah, they do, and then them, and them, and them, they all follow in line. The tabernacle's in the middle of them. So when they arrive somewhere, the first group pitch camp, then the side bits do, and then the middle bits set up, and then the others get around the other side. Yeah. So there we have this arrangement of the tabernacle, and there's people all around it. Yes, it tells us that God's people are meant to be organized. Is that right?
Yeah.
We have our place, we do what we should do, and it works. Yeah. If you form a body, it works. Right. We're not doing our own thing, in other words. That's the idea I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Right, next one, please.
When the numbers were in their places, because they had that allocated places,
yes,
didn't they? They marched in the Church of the Cross.
Right, they would have done that.
More of the eastern end.
All right, yeah, oh well, well, there you are, yeah. See, if you could have a bird's eye view, you'd see a cross.
Yes, you'd see a cross
movement. Oh well, there you are. See, God was writing in all the details, obviously, yeah. So I'm taking you to Revelation now, chapter 4. Here we have a view of heaven. And remember, Moses was told, when you make the tabernacle, make it according to the pattern I showed you. In the letter to the Hebrews, he's saying that the tabernacle was a shadow, a copy of the original, the real thing. You got the idea? The real thing is not the earthly tent. The real thing is heaven itself. And in heaven itself, we see this big sea. The big sea, we see the throne room and all of that, and the lights, the seven lamps all around and all of that.
Yeah.
You can read that in Revelation. So that's the tabernacle in heaven. The real place is heaven itself. Yeah. And that's what it's pointing towards. And basically, the letter to the Hebrews is saying, you know, the old system had its place, but now that Jesus has come, the curtain's gone, we have access to God, as it was always meant to be, and ultimately Jesus didn't go into a tabernacle down here, he's gone to heaven preparing a place for you and for me. So that's the picture. One more, I think. Is that, or is that it?
You might be on the back writing, you still got your arms up. No, I'm
right. Which door? There are angels all around as well. Right, that's the end, right. Yes, I've just got one more bit to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Angie. She did really well there, didn't she? Yes, well done, Andy. Yes. What's it all about? What was this tabernacle thing all about? What's the real intent of it all? And this. Well, there was the Bible notes, the UCB notes for Saturday. That's yesterday. I thought were really, really good at illustrating what I want to share about all this. And he says this, I'll just read it to you. The world expects Christians to be different from those who don't profess to know Jesus, and that is as it should be. Believers should set an example when it comes to serving others and showing love. Jesus said, people will know you are my followers if you love each other. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites broke God's covenant by worshipping a golden calf, Moses pleaded with God not to give up on them. His argument was this, how will anyone know that you look favorably on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people apart. What made Israel unique from the nations was the evidence of God's presence as he journeyed with them. And God's presence should set you apart too. When Jesus told his disciples, I will be with you always, he demonstrated his presence through the Holy Spirit who dwelt in and empowered them. So much so that their enemies said they turned the world upside down. But as the pastor and author Mark D. Roberts observes, this doesn't give us grounds for pride or boasting. God's presence is an expression of his grace, not our worthiness. In fact, our confidence in God's presence gives us a strong conviction of our high calling to serve him in every capacity of life. It gives us courage to live according to his kingdom and to serve others in his name. If God is with us on our side, what do we have to fear? Today, thank God for his presence in your life and decide never to take it for granted. So the Israelites, coming back to the tabernacle, the Israelites could say, by his grace, it wasn't because they deserved it, but by his grace God had chosen them and he made it obvious and clear to everybody that he was with them because his presence was amongst them in the tabernacle.
Mm.
Yeah? Everybody knows that this people are different because their God goes with them. Yes? And that's what he's applying is for us. We are different if we show that God is with us by his Holy Spirit working in our lives. Yeah. So the tabernacle had a real message, but the message in a sense has now been superseded because Jesus has come to dwell within us. And you've got You've got a little bit of smoke coming out of the top of your head, have you? The sign of the presence. Well, it happened on Pentecost. It was the flame. Yeah? The same idea that God had come to dwell in these disciples, and everybody knew it. Not because they could see the flame, but because they could see something was burning inside them. Yeah? And that's what God wants for you and me. Yeah? So the tabernacle is a beautiful thing, but it's heaven we're looking forward to. Yeah, we don't need to remake a tent. Yeah. One last little thought was, the tabernacle was a picture of movement. God was with them wherever they went. Jesus said, I'll be with you wherever you go. Yeah? God's movement was... But where did the tabernacle finish up eventually? In a permanent building called the temple. Yeah? Well, we're on the move with the Lord. Where are you going to finish up?
In
the permanent building. The temple of God comes down. The tabernacle of God comes down. You're in the building. Yeah. So, it's all there in the story. And you can read it in the Word. And you wouldn't need to look at any piece. It's all there in the book. Yeah. Well, we'll stop there, eh? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your promised presence. May we know it, Lord, and experience that in our lives, that as we live for you, Lord, you live in us and through us, Lord, to make us a blessing to the world around us, that people will know, not that we're superior creatures, Lord, that we've got nothing to boast about of ourselves, but we've got Jesus to boast about, Lord, that you've come and worked in our hearts in a wonderful way. We want to thank you for that, Lord. And so we bless you, Lord, that you're with us while we're moving, and when we get home, Lord, you'll be there for us as well in this permanent place in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings and mercies, and for all that's there in the book, Lord, right from the beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.